The play Our Town by Thornton Wilder has a certain timelessness to it as it tells the story of small town Grover's Corners in New Hampshire, tells it through the lives and relationships and everyday events of the people who reside there. Over a period of 12 to 13 years, we follow the lives of George and Emily along with their family and friends as George and Emily move from high school sweethearts to newlyweds, to young parents, to the tragic and unexpected moment when Emily dies prematurely, giving birth to their second child. As her funeral ends, and her body is ready to be carried to the cemetery to join those who have been buried there before, Emily's spirit holds back, not wanting to forego this life, not wanting to let go of all that has meant so much to her in her life. Remarkably, she's given the wish of reliving a day in her life. She chooses the day she turned 12 as a young girl and goes back and watches through new eyes the events unfold of that day. Unfortunately, she discovers in watching that day replay itself how often most of us let each day slip through our fingers, oblivious to all the wonder and beauty that lie at the heart of every single day. No matter how mundane or ordinary it may appear on the surface. In a parting soliloquy, Emily reflects on the meaning of life, and I quote, "It goes so fast. We don't have time to look at one another. I didn't realize all that was going on in life, and we never noticed. Goodbye. Goodbye, world. Goodbye, Grover's Corners, and Mama and Papa. Goodbye to clocks ticking and Mama's sunflowers. Goodbye to food and coffee and new iron dresses and hot baths and sleeping and waking up. Oh, Earth, you're too wonderful for anybody to realize you. Do any human beings ever realize life while they live it every minute? Human beings are just blind. Meanwhile, Mary sat outside the tomb weeping. Peering inside, she saw two angels seated where Jesus' body had lain. When they asked her why she was crying, she replied, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know what they've done with him." With that, she turned to continue her tearful search. A man stood there whom she did not recognize. Had the physical beating and violence that Jesus had suffered changed his appearance that greatly? Had his time lying in the tomb somehow altered his familiar features? Or did she somehow miss the halo over his head that all the ancient pictures said, if you don't know which one is Jesus, there he is? Perhaps it was something as simple as this. Mary was looking for and expecting a lifeless, ruined body, not a living human being. Whatever the explanation, John reports that Mary mistook Jesus for a common day laborer, a blue-collar worker, a gardener. All by itself, that mistaken identity points us to one of the essential realities of Easter. That you and I never know when and how the risen Christ will appear. The hymn writer says this: "We meet you, O Christ, in many a guise. Your image we see in simple and wise. You live in a palace, exist in a shack. We see you, the gardener, a tree on your back." Take a moment to look at those seated nearby you. And across the aisle, perhaps. Look. Look. Can you see Jesus looking back at you? It's what happens next for Mary that makes all the difference for her and for us. While Mary remains puzzled and unknowing, wondering if the stranger has anything to do with the missing Jesus, the stranger speaks a single word to her. Mary. And nothing is ever the same again. Her life and the world as a whole are reawakened as love calls her name. Easter happens not just for Mary, but for us again and again and again, whenever it is that we hear love calling our name. Whenever love whispers in your ear, Easter happens. Whenever love eases the grip of fear in your heart, Easter happens. Whenever love breathes new possibilities into a hopeless situation, Easter happens. Whenever love frees your heart and soul from whatever binds and consumes it, love, Easter happens. You and I come here today celebrating not just what the God of love did yesterday, way back when, but what the God of love and life continues to do both in our individual lives and in the world at large. Despite everything we dare to believe, to declare, to proclaim that love triumphs, love wins. It may look like an upset for those of you who've been following basketball. It may look like an upset, but put love into your bracket on any line and love wins over and over and over against any foe. Love, fear, love, death, love, violence, love, rejection, love, abuse, love wins. Line it up against any foe and love wins against all odds. It may not happen the way we expect it to happen. It may not look the way we think it should look. But love wins, believe it or not. No, not believe it or not. Believe it. Because it's true. Some of us had the privilege of seeing that at work this week. With Easter breaking through in a strange way and a strange setting right here. It happened at a church board meeting, and if you want to know where to find death, go to church board meetings. And so we were at one of those meetings. We were hard at work trying to figure out all the details of how the new pastoral team setup is going to work. As you might imagine, there were a whole lot more questions than there were answers. And then Reverend Shisholi. Now, some of you don't know Reverend Shisholi. And I am going to pay big price for this. Some of you know him as a longtime administrator at City Hall. Some of you know him as a professor at Syracuse University. Some of you know him as a church member and choir member and leader in this congregation, but that night it was Reverend Shisholi. And he did what any good preacher is called upon to do. What it was that the Apostle Paul himself did way back when, by reminding us of what it means to be Easter people, of what it means not just to have heard the story, but to absorb the story and to live it in every circumstance. Here's what Reverend Shisholi said that evening. Where did it go here? There we are. Be joyful, though you have considered all the facts. I thought I had heard or read those words somewhere before, and Vito reminded me that it came from the pen of Wendell Berry, an American poet and farmer and activist. In fact, it's a poem that I have used here on at least one other occasion, so I went back and took a second look at it and want to quote not the entire poem, but a longer portion of it. Wendell Berry writes, "Love the quick profit, the annual raise, vacation with pay. Want more of everything ready-made. Be afraid to know your neighbor and to die. And you will have a window in your head. Not even your future will be a mystery anymore. When they want you to buy something, they will call you. When they want you to die for profit, they will let you know. So, friends, every day, do something that does not compute. Love the Lord. Love the world. Work for nothing. Take all you have and be poor. Love someone who doesn't deserve it. Denounce the government and embrace the flag. Give your approval to all you cannot understand. Ask the questions that have no answers. Invest in the millennium. Plant sequoias. Say that your main crop is the forest that you did not plant and that you will not live to harvest. Expect the end of the world. Laugh. Laughter is immeasurable. And be joyful, though you have considered all the facts. Practice resurrection. Today of all days, don't just believe in resurrection. Don't let it be just a word that pours off the preacher's lips. Don't let it be something we just sing about or pray for. Practice. Practice. Practice resurrection. So when I make the phone call this afternoon to my 87-year-old aging and failing father in a nursing home in New Hampshire, down the road from Grover's Corners, perhaps, and his mind drifts in and drifts out, remind myself that love wins. And when you still don't understand what the bishop and the district superintendent have in mind and are trying to do, remind yourselves and them that love wins. When the cranky neighbor down the street gets on your nerves one more time, remember, love wins. And when the cranky person who lives in the same house with you gets under your skin again, remember, love wins. And when you go home and stare in the mirror at the cranky person looking back at you, tell yourself, love wins. In fact, turn to somebody right now and just tell them, love wins. Love wins, no matter what. That's what it means to be an Easter people. Not to leave it behind when we exit this room, but to carry the message, the good news, the impossibly wonderful, glorious, great news into every single corner and every fiber of our being, of our life, and the life of the city around us, and the life of the world as a whole. Like Paul, we've heard the reports from others, but today it's our turn. Today it's our turn to practice resurrection. Today it's our turn to remember what we have heard. And today it's our turn to make it real. Love wins. Thanks be to God. Amen.